The evening's reading is Psalm 55, and it is on page 575. Psalm 55, page 575. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their danger, in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God, as we walked about among the worshippers. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening and morning and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me. Even though many oppose me, God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble them, because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay, the bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you."
Good evening, everybody. Really good to see you today. Where's Lorcan? Where are you? There you are. I'm about to tell a story about Julius Caesar, which we've just heard is not as trustworthy as the stories about Jesus. On the 15th of March, 44 BC, Julius Caesar, Rome's most powerful man at the time, walked into the Senate, and there he was surrounded by conspirators, and all of them had knives underneath their robes. They all sprang on him and stabbed him 23 times. But what shocks everyone about that story is not the attack so much, but actually who held one of the daggers. It was one of his close friends, Brutus. And in Shakespeare's play about Julius Caesar, Caesar's last words before he dies are the desperate question, "E tu, Brute," or something like that in Latin. "And you, Brutus?" You can't believe that it's his close friend who's one of the ones who's put the knife in him. Betrayal cuts deeper than ordinary wrongs, doesn't it? It's a knife in the back from someone you trusted, and it's a wound that lingers for years even. Some of us might know something of what those wounds are like. Maybe that's from friendships that soured. Maybe a friend that you used to confide in, a friend that you used to pray with, suddenly you hear that they've been gossiping behind your back, slandering your name. That hurts. Maybe it's family wounds. Maybe through divorce, abandonment, or deep conflicts that broke trust. It could have been a parent that was meant to protect you but didn't. It could be a child that's cut off contact. It hurts. Maybe it's church hurt. It could be disappointment with church leaders that have, maybe through falling into sin or neglect, have really disappointed you. Maybe it could be feeling betrayed by other Christians who could have stepped in to help you but didn't. Or maybe we relate to these feelings of betrayal and letdown through something like workplace or school conflicts that you get into. Maybe a close colleague took credit for your work or for your homework and presented it as if it was their own. All of those wounds are so much worse because they come from someone who was supposed to be, who was trusted. They're wounds from a friend. They're knives in the back from someone close to us. And obviously, I recognize that for some people here, this must be bringing up really quite painful experiences. And I am sorry for the hurt that you've gone through. I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring healing to you through God's word this evening. But also, there are going to be some people here who haven't really experienced major betrayal or feelings of letdown and disappointment before. But Psalm 55 is going to prepare you for when that time comes, because we live in a world of broken trust, don't we? So it always happens. This summer, we are in the Psalms learning how to feel. Not being driven by our emotions, not driving our emotions away, but turning every single one of them to worship. And Psalm 55 shows us how to worship when we feel betrayed, let down. This is how to worship when the knife is still in your back. David shows that there are actually three ways to worship when that knife is still lodged there. Pray to the God who knows how it feels. Trust God to bring justice. And run to God for shelter. That's three words for you to remember. Pray, trust, and run. Pray, trust, and run. Let's hit that first one. The first way to worship when feeling betrayed is to pray to the God who knows how it feels. Did you notice all the language that David is using in this psalm it's just the most expressive, emotive language that he could possibly think of. So he says he's distraught in verse 2. His heart is in anguish in verse 4. He's overwhelmed by horror in verse 5. He's piling up these strongest of words because he can't possibly imagine feeling any worse than he does right now. And it's not the swords of his enemies that have wounded him most deeply. It's the treachery of someone close. So have a look at verses 12 to 14. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked among the worshippers. This wasn't just an acquaintance. It was a close friend. They'd shared sweet fellowship and worshipped together. This betrayal is deeply personal, isn't it? It's the collapse of trust. It's the collapse of loyalty. The collapse of shared faith, even. Now, most likely, not certain, but most likely, this psalm is written out of a context where David's son Absalom rebelled against him. And one of David's trusted advisors, can't say this name, Ahithophel, turned against him. If you want to read about that, that's in 2 Samuel chapters 15 to 17. Betrayal from a son, betrayal from a most trusted advisor. You can imagine the pain that would have caused David, tearing at his heart. But notice this, instead of suppressing that feeling of betrayal and being let down, David gives voice to it. He turns it into a prayer. These psalms are like the hymn book of God's people. They're to be said out loud. They're to be sung out loud, whether on your own or together. So David is giving us words that we can all use when we are wounded. Instead of swallowing that betrayal until it becomes a poisonous resentment in our hearts, we're invited to join with David in bringing it to God in prayer. And here's why we should be confident that we can pray this way before our God. Because he knows exactly how it feels. He knows exactly how betrayal feels. Just think about Jesus with Judas, someone he had chosen, someone he had walked with, eaten with, trusted. For 3 years, Judas had shared ministry with Jesus, shared meals with Jesus, shared a space around the campfire with Jesus. And yet, he sold Jesus out for 30 silver coins. And he didn't betray him with a sword. Even worse than that, he betrayed him with a kiss. Like the most personal expression of affection twisted into treachery. And Judas wasn't the only one. The other disciples let him too, didn't they? So in Gethsemane, the night he was arrested, Jesus asked his closest friends to stay with him and pray. They all slept. And when Jesus was arrested, what did they all do? They ran. They left Jesus to face trial, to face crucifixion, to face torture, completely abandoned, alone. And Peter, the one who swore to Jesus that he would rather die than leave him, denied him 3 times. And when the rooster crowed, Jesus turned his face and looked Peter right in the eyes. And you can imagine the pain, the grief on Jesus' face in that moment. Well might he have echoed the psalmist's words, "If an enemy was insulting me, I could endure it. But it's you. It's you, Peter." So, when you feel the knife in your back, know this, you're not alone. You can pray to the God who knows exactly how it feels. He won't tell you to get over it. He won't be puzzled by your pain. He says, "I know what it's like. I've been there. Come to me. Tell me all about it." This is how we begin to worship, through betrayal. Not by pretending it doesn't hurt, but by praying to the God who knows exactly what it feels like. But David doesn't stop with just telling God how it feels. He takes another step. He trusts God to bring justice. This is the second way that he turns his betrayal into an act of worship. Now, in this sort of setting, if we're being driven by our emotions, we're going to want to strike back, aren't we? We'll pursue justice at any cost, and even if that means doing great harm to ourselves or to others. But David here shows us another way. He doesn't pick up his sword. He doesn't gather the troops. Instead, he falls to his knees, and he prays, and he trusts God to bring justice. So listen to some of his prayers. Verse 9, "Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words." Verse 15, "Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead." Verse 23, "But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay." Now, these prayers sound very strong, don't they? These are not the exact words that we use when we're experiencing personal betrayal. We're not kings. We're not kings of God's kingdom. So unlike us, David was God's anointed king, and he's writing under the Spirit's inspiration. So when he prays like this, he's not lashing out in kind of like a personal vengeance type of way, but as a king, he is longing for God's kingdom to come and for evil to be defeated. So we come across these sorts of prayers in the Psalms quite frequently. We can pray them. We just don't pray them about our personal enemies. So instead, we pray these words thinking of the enemies of God's King, Christ. So for example, if we hear of people in our country opposing Christ and what he's doing, we can pray with David, "Lord, confuse the wicked. Lord, confound their words." And if we hear of mobs of persecutors around the world, killing men, women, and children just because they're Christians. It's right for us to pray with David, let death take them by surprise. Lord, bring justice. We can pray that prayer. But when it comes to personal betrayal, personal letdown, we trust God for justice in a different way. We don't take revenge. We don't pray for judgment on our personal enemies. We hand over our case to a higher court. That's what we do. We hand over our case to a higher court. So consider Jesus' own response to insults and suffering. We read about it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. So on the cross, Jesus could have commanded down a legion of angels. He could have wiped out his enemies from the face of the earth, couldn't he? When those soldiers were nailing his wrists into the wood, he could have said, no, death rain down on all of them. But he doesn't do that, does he? He prays for the very ones that nailed him to the cross. What astonishing love. He entrusted himself to the Father, the one who judges justly. And Jesus knew that while on earth, judgment was not in his hands. So he left it in his Father's hands instead. And that's how we worship when we feel let down and betrayed. When the wounds cut deep, when the slander spreads, when you hear about the gossip, when injustice seems to win the day, we do not pick up our swords. We do not gather the troops. We don't retaliate to insults. We don't repeat threats. We trust that God is the one who's going to right every single wrong. And it's like handing our case over to a higher court, isn't it? It's a prayer like this. Lord, this situation is not right. But I'm not going to be the judge. I'm not going to be the jury. I'm not going to be the executioner. I leave it in your hands. What might this look like for us? It might mean not sending the angry email at 2 a.m. in the morning. Instead, just closing the laptop, praying over your hurts, and leaving the outcome with God. It might mean that when the gossip spreads about you, you don't fight fire with fire. You do speak the truth when needed, but you let vindication come from God. You don't fight for it yourself. It might mean refusing to replay the betrayal over and over again in your head. Instead, every single time it surfaces, just turn it into a prayer. Lord, you've seen this. You know. Deal with it in your perfect timing. Of course, I should say that trusting God for justice doesn't mean we never seek earthly justice. Sometimes we must involve the police, sometimes we must involve HR or church leaders or whatever it is. But trusting God for justice means recognizing that earthly justice will never be perfect. That's not where our hope is. The only perfect justice is God's. So David prays to the God who knows how it feels. David trusts the Lord for justice. And finally, he runs to God for shelter. You can hear his longing in verses 6 to 8. Can you see that there? Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. And David's obviously overwhelmed, isn't he? The betrayal, the pressure, the fear, it's all too much, and he's desperate to escape. And that's a really understandable, relatable human emotion, isn't it? We've been there to one degree or another. When the pain is real, we want to flee. We want to numb it, we want to avoid it, we want to bury it. Some of us escape through work. We keep busy so that we don't have to think. Some of us escape through entertainment, whether that's Netflix or YouTube or something else. Some escape through comforts, food or alcohol or other things like that. And others simply withdraw. We shut down emotionally and keep other people at arm's reach. But These are rickety shelters. They feel safe for a moment, but they do not last. Escaping into them is like hiding in a garden shed when you know there's a tsunami coming. It's not going to end well. But David shows us a much better shelter. So verse 16, he says, "As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me." And verse 22, how wonderful is this verse? "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." Escapism, it doesn't last. But God knows that sometimes we do need to run somewhere. Sometimes we do need a safe place that we can retreat to for rest, especially when we're struggling with deep wounds. And the Lord offers himself as that safe place of escape, shelter, and rest. He saves us. He sustains us. He will not let us be shaken. He's our fortress. He's our rock. And we can cast all of our cares on him. And that is such beautiful grace. It is such beautiful grace because we are not just the betrayed in this psalm. We're the betrayers too. Jesus took the ultimate betrayal, not from Judas, not from Peter, not from the other disciples, but from us. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That's us. Every sin is like a knife in his back. He sees and he feels every single one. And as with Peter, picture him turning to you with grief and pain, saying, "If it was an enemy, I could endure it, but it is you." And yet he loves us, doesn't he? He died for betrayers like me and you. He took all our sin so that we, the betrayers, could be forgiven and brought near into that place of security, rest, and safety. Jesus chose to be cast out so that we could be welcomed in. That is such grace. Run to it. Run to him. What might running to God look like for us? Maybe it's going to look like replacing a numbing habit with a running habit. When the urge to distract yourself comes, why not pray through this psalm instead? Make God your first point of refuge. None of those other things. It might mean redirecting your thoughts. So instead of that downward spiral, tell yourself something good about our God. Just one of those verses that we read earlier. "God who is enthroned from of old. God who does not change." Remind yourself of something good about our God when that downward spiral comes. It might mean singing songs of lament or songs of comfort when you're at home, when those memories of betrayal surface again. Not because you feel like it, you probably won't feel like singing, but because you need the shelter that those truths give you. Why not sing one of the songs we sang tonight, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus"? And that's an easy one to remember. We could sing that this week. And it might mean saying out loud, "Lord, I just can't carry this today. I'm casting all my cares on you. Please sustain me." The world's shelters collapse, but God is a secure shelter when we need to retreat. When feeling betrayed, when feeling let down, we worship by running to God. I think we know that betrayal leaves deep wounds, and there are some that are in the middle of it right now. There are some that are recovering from it. Others of us are going to face it in the future. Psalm 55 doesn't pretend that betrayal is easy to get over, to get through. It doesn't suggest that we just move on. Instead, it offers us a way to worship while we're still in it. Pray to the God who knows how it feels, because in Jesus, God himself has been there. Trust in God to bring justice. Don't pick up your sword. Don't gather the troops. Trust that the judge of all the earth will do right. He will right every single wrong. And run. Run to God for shelter, because he will sustain us when we cast our cares on him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you have that such holy empathy. Thank you that you know what it's like to go through the absolute depths. Thank you that, Jesus, you are such a comfort to those here who've been there. And Father, we just pray that all of us would know that you are that safe space when those times come. Father, please help us to pray to you. Please help us to trust you. Please help us to keep on running to you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.